This is a production of Cornell University.
This spring across our Ithaca and New York campuses. Really extraordinary that we've done that. I know there's a lot of questions about commencement. I wish I had a more concrete answer about that, but we're holding off that decision as long as we possibly can so that we can get as clear a sight line as we can to the end of May. The more we wait, the more we can probably do. It's very unlikely, very, very unlikely that we can have a traditional commencement with thousands of family on campus. We've told families not to make non-refundable travel plans, but we're looking to see if we can have some sort of an in-person event, even if it's just for the students who are already here. But you know, the bottom line is we're graduating 8,400 new graduates. Across the campus, our academics thrive. You've probably all heard we got a remarkably generous gift from Ann S. Bowers, an alumna, which is letting us name will now be the Cornell Ann S. Bowers College of Information and Computing and Information Science. This is a field that we lead in, and it's going to cement our leadership, and the gift will support not just a new building, which is desperately needed. If you've walked into CIS, there's students sitting on the floor in the hallway, it's so crowded, but it's also going to provide support for faculty and programming and students. Our work is continuing on a range of racial equity programs, including, importantly, new approaches to campus safety, which are being driven both by our Public Safety Advisory Committee and by Ryan Lombardi's Division of Student and Campus Life. There's a lot of work going on there. I think people know about the new educational and research programming that's being formulated by our Faculty Senate, an anti-racism seminar, a course for students, a course for faculty, and of course our new certificate-based program for staff on advancing diversity, equity, and inclusion at Cornell. We got a really large grant from the Department of Energy, and so we can move forward in our plans to assess earth source heating as part of our continued efforts to make the Cornell campus, the Ithaca campus, carbon neutral by 2030. I could go on and on, but again, I don't want to take all of our time. I just want to thank people for making it possible for us to keep on as a great university despite the pandemic. People ask me a lot about what we've done differently that we would keep doing afterwards. And I have a pretty long list, but I thought I would approach today's Q&A a little bit differently and start by asking you, is there anything, you know, I know there's been stresses, but is there anything over the past 12 months that you actually appreciate and think we should keep doing the way we're doing it now rather than going back to the old normal? I'll stop with that and pose that question to all of you.
Thank you. I want to just take a quick minute to say, based on the priorities poll, a lot of feedback has been very positive in terms of retaining some components of remote work post-COVID. So I know, based on the Belonging at Cornell data, about 43% of staff in Ithaca are working.
Oh, wow.
So if we could, you know, discuss a culture of, you know, being a little bit more flexible in terms of remote work, I think that would be something that a lot of staff would be interested in, as it really helps with our sustainability, as it helps with some of our mental health, some of our, you know, work-life balance issues. I think that'd be really great. I see Ellen's hand is raised.
Can I just add real quickly, just for data, we are going to resurvey our staff, remote staff, to see, we have the data from our first survey about interest in remote work, and we're going to resurvey them. Anecdotally, what we believe is that people are less interested in full remote, but continue to have a very high interest in flexibility and some remote. But we're going to get that data and we'll share it with you.
Thank you, Mary.
I want to say because Zoom is so weird, if I'm looking down, it's because I'm taking notes. It's not because I'm on my phone or something.
Thank you. I want to recognize Ellen, then Brian, and then we'll move to committee reports. So Ellen?
Just to answer your question, President Pollack, one thing that I have really appreciated, and I know that my colleagues have as well, is just the open communication and the transparency and the continued, keeping us updated via email, via Zoom, you know, panels and forums, and just keeping us in the loop makes us feel like we are an important part of the campus and that, we are involved in the decision-making and we're involved in the processes. So that's been really, really greatly appreciated. And I would love to see that continue always. Like if we can keep that momentum going, that would be great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen.
Can I just mm-hmm. add one thing to that? One of the things that's been really surprising and in a positive way is that we thought people would feel it was too remote to be on Zoom, but we're actually hearing it's way better and way easier than holding on campus open things that you have to go to. So it was a great learning experience.
Thank you, Mary. I'm going to go to Brian and then Michelle and then move over to committee reports. Brian.
So one of the things that there's a couple things I think that are really appreciated, Martha. One, I think that a lot of people that are working remotely appreciate being able to dress down. Another thing I think that on campus,
I'll refrain from standing up and showing you the jeans.
Okay. I know that sweats are really selling very well these days. And then on campus, I know that the frontline staff really appreciated the parking flexibility. And they would like to see some more done with that. Me personally, the thing that I really liked and I hope continues are the forums. I've learned so much from the forums. I've gotten so much insightfulness and stuff. And I think that that was beneficial for me. I also think it's beneficial because especially when the human side takes over, we find out that the people at the forums actually have some of the same issues that the frontline staff have. Even though they may not see that in real life, they always think that they're way up there on that mountain. They're starting to see, I think, some of the staff, you know, wow, you know, we're all people and we're all in this together. And I think that forums have helped with that. So those are the things that I can come to mind right off the bat.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Thank you. I'm going to send this over to Michelle, either she has comments or also to start with the committee reports as part of the executive committee. Michelle.
Sure. Brian hit all of the points that I wanted to express that I was hearing from my constituents as well. So thank you for that. And thank you, President Pollack, for joining us today. The executive committee continues to meet and discuss staff forums and how we can improve our internal process with the staff forums and to come up with ideas for continuing staff forums into the future. We did discuss the COVID forum. And we discussed internally, we have an open seat and how to handle and manage open seats, whether we just do that through the executive committee or for the full EA and the elections committee. We discussed an email that I had received from a constituent about vacation and sick bank, and that's something that we're passing over to the Benefits Policy Committee for further discussion. And we also discussed your visit today.
Thank you. Moving on to Ellen Miller of the Communications and Boards Committee.
Hello. So our committee has been nonstop busy. We handle communications, outreach, and recognition. So it's quite a large charge. We've been meeting regularly every 2 weeks. And on the communications side, we have ramped up the EA Voice newsletter. We're now publishing it every month. And we've been receiving a lot of positive feedback on it. And we're constantly looking to see how we can improve that and make that better and make sure that we're connecting with the staff in a meaningful way and including the information that they want to know about. We're spotlighting staff contributions, promos for upcoming events, recapping past events and linking them to resources that may have been presented during those events, sharing our EA initiatives like the priorities poll and what we plan to do with that information, and recent actions that we've taken at our employee assembly meetings. So that's been going very well, and we're working always to improve that. We've been trying to increase our social media presence on Facebook and LinkedIn, and again, as just another tool for communicating with staff, trying to use all of our resources, and working with campus partners, such as working at Cornell, employee welfare and wellness, and keeping connection with the Geneva campus and the New York City Tech campus. So just trying to make sure that we're, you know, doing that full global connection with all of our constituents. And then on the outreach side, we've been working along with the executive committee on facilitating the staff forums and panel discussions and the communication and promotions that go along with that. sharing the resources again that we've learned from those events. And we are looking forward to the COVID a year later forum that's next week, and currently working on the promotions for that and getting the word out and making sure everyone knows about that. We also on the outreach side facilitated the employee assembly priorities poll collection, and we're now using that data at the committee level to address the topics that are most important to staff and working on getting that information out. And again, working with campus partners to bridge the connection with the EA and learning how we can support each other's initiatives, working with the Cornell Recreation Connection to put a little fun into the events that are happening. And again, working with wellness and welfare. We helped the CUPD with their collection of data for their poll. Recently, the Title IX office as well with some collection of data that they were looking at. So making those partnerships and connections. I've heard from some people even today, someone from the law school reached out to me about promoting a mock study that they have going on. And I'll be working with them to see what we can do to help with that. And next week at our next meeting, we'll be meeting with Annalisa Raymer from CLASP as a follow-up from the education panel that was held in January to see how we can connect with CLASP and partner with them to get that information out to the staff and to ramp up their program. And then finally, the last charge of our committee is recognition. And we learned, well, we know just being staff and employees, that recognition is so important. We learned from our priorities poll that is also a priority, that other staff members and employees share. So we really want to make that our top focus from here going forward. And earlier in the year, in the fall, we were able to release a resolution recognizing the voluntary retirement incentive program participants. And we were able to do the Employee Assembly Appreciation Award for Building Care. And now we are currently working on the George Peter Award for Dedicated Service. We successfully revamped and refreshed that award criteria and rubric, and we've published the launch for nominations on Monday. So we're really looking forward to seeing what kind of responses we get from that. And I'm hoping that we can honor someone with that prestigious award. It's the longest standing peer nominated award. Over 190 employees have received it in the past. And it went on a little bit of a hiatus from 2018 to now. So we're really trying to promote that and to get people excited for that and hope we get some good responses from it. Additionally, we have a subcommittee working on revision and revamp of the Not Opperman Award. per Mary's request, we will be renaming that along with the relaunch. And that award will focus on leadership, integrity, and inclusion. And once we have a plan and some more information drafted for that, we will be in touch with Mary to make sure it's going in a direction that she approves of, since it is currently her namesake. And we're hoping to get that launched soon as well. We were able to confirm with the president's office that we do have some financial backing for that award. So that's really positive for employees as well. It adds a little bit of a nice touch to that award. This week, we just met with Kim Babuka from HR, along with Ashley Miller, who is one of our employee assembly members and committee members, talking about the appreciation portal and the history of the appreciation portal and where it's planning to go in the future and how we can utilize that more as an assembly. We do have a user in the portal, so we're hoping to use that more and get more appreciation out, but also how to promote that to the employee staff and to communicate that to managers and supervisors to make sure that they're utilizing that as well to recognize their teams. And always brainstorming and looking into other new ways to promote staff recognition and to see what we can do. That's a lot. I've been talking for a long time, I feel like. We did have some questions for you, President Pollack. I don't know if you have any questions for us or if you want to respond to anything, but we did have some questions for you.
Sure, I'm happy to answer. Now, the only thing I wanted to say is that I really love the idea of the appreciation portal and have sent in some myself over time. I think it's a great idea, great idea.
We were curious if you received the EA Voice newsletter, if you have read any of it, if you have any feedback for us, or if there's anything you would like to see us do differently with the newsletter.
You know, I'm embarrassed to say, I mean, tons of things.
I'm sure you get so many.
But so here's what I want to say. I'm going to be completely honest. No, I mean, if I have received it, I haven't read it recently. I'm not going to pretend I have. But if you will send it, or actually, Mary, if you send it to me, it won't get lost in the flood, and I will take a careful look at the next few and get back to you.
Great. Thank you so much. And then we also, in regards to staff recognition, again, we're going to be promoting the appreciation portal because that's such an easy tool that is available to everyone. And it's so nice to get those, you know, little email recognitions. But we wanted to know if there was any other ideas that you maybe had for staff recognition, especially in these times where we have such limited resources and that we can't really put financial backing to them. Like, what other ways can we?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, this is kind of embarrassing, but I'm going to tell you, I got one of those appreciation things. I was just thrilled. It was just like so nice. What would make staff feel good that we're not doing already? I mean, that doesn't cost a ton of money.
Yeah, that's what we're working on. That's what we're trying to figure out. So we've been brainstorming. We have come up with some ideas, but I think definitely that appreciation portal, we're going to promote that more and the awards that we have.
But, you know, one thing, we can't do this again. This isn't really appreciation, but before the pandemic, I was once or twice a semester having lunch with a group of faculty. We would go to the Statler. We'd get a little private room there. They were kind of randomly picked. I was doing it because it gave me another way to sort of talk directly to a set of faculty who I might not otherwise meet. I would love to start doing that again. I can't right now because we can't fit, you know, but once the pandemic, because I used to do that, have that with faculty too, and that's all been put on hold. I would love to start that up again, and maybe we could get the EA involved in helping to select. You know, what I want is a broad and diverse, and I mean diverse across all dimensions, schools, college, racial, gender, age, everything. Group of people. I will definitely start that up again once.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you for that. We will definitely be involved in that.
Ellen, when we used to do the auctions to help fund the CARE fund, mm-hmm. we would auction off lunches with not just with the president, but with other senior leaders. There may be something there for you to think about. So definitely everyone wants to have lunch with the president, but you know, people might like to have lunch with Ryan or with a new dean, for example, or something. So I find if you ask our leadership, they almost always say yes.
Great, thank you so much. I love these ideas. And then we also did want to address, you had mentioned, President Pollack, a couple of times in some other panel discussions about an on-campus festival or street fair. And we wanted to address that because we love the idea, but we also wanted to make sure it actually did set off a few alarm bells for us because we wanted to make sure that the staff who need to be appreciated the most are not the staff who are going to be set up with all the work of doing it.
Absolutely. No, I have, Mary and I have talked about exactly that issue. So don't worry, the workers would be. So years ago, I used to go to a family camp with my family in Pennsylvania. And one day a week, one meal a week, they had the campers, those of us who were the campers, would go and we would work in the kitchen so that it was like a kitchen staff appreciation. I loved it. It was great fun. I don't know how good the food we made was, but you know, the idea would definitely not be that the line staff do this. I have to say, I don't know if we're going to be in sort of health, public health place to do it this summer yet. I was sort of hoping that by August we could do it, and I don't know, but you know, if it has to be next summer, it'll be next summer. Well, you know,
one day. Great. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, and we'll keep the momentum going. And if you think of anything that we can help you with our promotions or anything, please let us know.
Yep.
Thank you both. I'm sorry, but after the executive committee, I wasn't sure if there were any questions or comments for Michelle. Martha, Mary, was there any feedback you wanted to provide or questions or anything?
No, I thought it was a really good report, but I didn't have any particular questions. Thank you, Michelle, for it.
All right, thank you. So let's move on to the education committee with Jessica Withers.
Hi. So I'm going to take advantage of the mic and tell you that what I would like to continue is, I feel like there's been an authentic embrace of mental health and well-being efforts by everyone. And I know you can't manufacture authenticity, but I just feel like everyone has bought into it and sees the value. So I'd love it if that continued. So for the education committee, the first thing I want to say is that I'm building on the work of Laura Taylor, who was the original education committee chair until her job in international services grew too intense. And I imagine you understand that. So with that said, we've hosted the January staff forum on employee educational benefits, and we included a feature in the EA Voice later that month. We received good feedback from both of those items. Plus, we heard that staff registering for School of Continuing Ed classes have sometimes specifically mentioned that they just learned they had this benefit. So we thought that was pretty great. We've even added 3 committee members since the forum, and some of them are here with us today. That was our big push for this term. Now we're doing some fact finding based off comments in the priorities poll. We are also asking for more information about this new virtual mentoring, which many of us noticed in Workday recently. And we are solidifying ways in which the EA can support or promote CLASP. As Ellen mentioned, we're gonna be at a joint meeting there later this month. And one other item that came out of the priorities poll was a call for clarity around promotional guidelines and how to move up within Cornell. But at our retreat last month, Mary mentioned that, or she acknowledged that that process is very difficult, especially if you don't have a personal network, and that HR is intensifying their focus on recruitment and talent retention. So we're just gonna sit back and let her team do their work and then see what comes out of that. So that was my report for you. If you have any questions or comments or
anything. No, I just wanted to affirm what you just said. I know that Mary and the HR team are looking, this issue of promotion and internal and external and how we make sure that everybody has an opportunity. And frankly, how we make sure that people feel valued even when they don't get a promotion, because there aren't always enough jobs for promotions. Mm-hmm. I know those are all sort of front and center for Mary's team.
Yep, that's great. Thank you.
Jessica, one quick thing, if you haven't, you might want to invite Amy Parmalee to your committee to talk about, you already, okay.
Yep. She's, I just got, Tanya put me in touch with her just this morning. So fantastic. Okay. Thank you. Great.
Thank you. And just fun fact about the employee education panel, about 436 staff members tuned in to watch that. And I think that's really great because it's such a specific forum on such a specific topic. So it's great to see that there's interest in all the educational opportunities available to the staff, because it is a unique benefit of working here at Cornell. Okay, let's move on to the Welfare Committee with Christy Mahoney.
Hello. So the committee, we meet regularly, a very active committee. Most of our effort is in strong partnership with the subject matter experts in HR, wellness, transportation. We work very hard to reinforce and amplify the programming that they already have going on. Our committee has been, I feel somewhat flexible and very adaptable to the real-time issues that come up. And we've used these partnerships to be able to advocate for and sponsor initiatives. The Wellness Forum and the Community Conversations Forum are 2 examples. In addition, we've been connecting with the CNGs and have received review of both the Belonging at Cornell survey and the work from home survey and guidance. And we'll continue to partner with those offices on ways in which we can leverage their efforts and leverage the voice and the positioning of the EA to bring the staff community closer. Thank you.
Great. Makes sense to me. Sounds really good.
Thank you. Any questions, President Pollack, Mary, for this committee?
No, thank you, Christine. Oh, Mary, did you want to say something?
I just wanted to thank the EA. You know, when we started the forums back in March, after I realized that myself videos that I was posting weren't really reaching people, we had no idea that they were going to become what they are now. And they really, really are advantaged by the EA's leadership. So I just wanted to really thank you for those.
Thank you. Moving on to the Benefits and Policy Committee with Brian.
Hi, and thanks for coming, Mary and Martha. So the BPC committee has been pretty active this past year. I became the chair of the BPC back in February of 2020, and we got a good start. We're dealing with the PTO survey and the CERP two-year wait and Veterans Day, and we started getting really active, and all of a sudden COVID came to town, kind of put a little botch in it, and it seemed like everything took a turn in different directions. Before that did, though, we were talking about some aspects of the bereavement policy, and we sent resolution EAR7 your way, and we appreciate the support we received from that. So I would like to send out my appreciation for that. I think that made a lot of people feel a lot better. We've discussed many, many policies since then. The election policy, discussion of COVID-19 and recommendations, and we passed EA1, protecting staff jobs and compensation, which I think you did pretty good on responding to our concerns, healthcare, retirement concerns. We had many guest speakers, Amy with gig status, and discussions with different hierarchy at Cornell about different things that we were dealing with. So over the last year, we've discussed so much. I mean, release time from work, PD process, EA retreat priority poll. From the EA retreat priorities poll, we picked up on a couple things that we would like to discuss in the future. The webinar for healthcare benefits, we thought would be a good thing to try to initiate. Education on benefits and communication on who controls them. I think some people feel that they don't understand their benefits and why they are what they are. And a lot of things aren't controlled by us and they think they are. And I think that we need more communication and outreach there. So that's one of the initiatives that we thought we'd take up. Look at parking as a potential benefit for staff, especially essential staff, on a benefit package or a package for showing appreciation. We thought about that. I'm going to look at that, health and wellness and how to improve it on campus. Look at ways to improve staff retention and employees at work, some way to help out with the working remotely. So there's a lot of things that are on our plate that we're looking forward to bringing up. This year proves to be another challenge because as with others or as with last year, COVID hasn't left town yet. We're hitting some milestones with COVID, as you mentioned earlier. I know it's a milestone. I actually had my 40th COVID test yesterday, so I was really excited. That was a milestone for me. I made it. but we're moving forward and trying to answer. I think some of the questions that we get, we've become quite a conduit for discussion from a lot of different groups with questions. And a lot of times we act as a referral and we act as education, because a lot of the questions that come to us actually have been answered previously. The biggest challenge that we have that we want to look at, and everybody's talked about this and it was brought up also in the survey, is looking at the current policies that are in place and seeing if we could play a role in making sure that they're up to date. So those are things that come across and we want to do. And the last thing we discuss, and I'm looking forward to having more discussion with this, is the policy director position that's being filled. We want to know if we can piggyback with them and work with them. It's how we collaborate together to find out if we can be a service to them and they can be a service to us. And that's pretty much my report.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, those are all important issues. Cleaning up our policies is always, I think that's just a never-ending job to get that right.
Thank you. Mary, do you have any feedback or questions? All right, seeing none, let's move on to the final committee, which is the Elections Committee. I don't see that Master is here, so I'm going to forward this over to Jamie, who's on the Elections Committee, for an update.
Hi, thank you so much for being here with us. And I'll just try to sum up what we've been doing in the elections committee. We are getting ready for the spring elections. That's the main focus. And then there's also some work around how do we go from our two-partite, I don't know if that's the right term, group of elections to a tripartite. And so we're gonna be expanding our membership and then going to 3-year terms. And so spreading out the elections so that there's around 12 people being elected each year, as opposed to half the slate each year. We've been working on some vacancies, some things that have shifted around, and then mostly just getting ready for the elections. Yeah, it's you know, important to keep our assemblies moving forward, and the elections are a big part of that. So,
well, I just want to congratulate the EA. You know, unlike, for example, the SA, which seems to have election chaos every year for one reason or another, you guys have always run clean, smooth, good elections. So good for you.
Thank you both. So now let's move on to the Q&A portion. I want to ask everybody to use the reactions raise your hand functionality, and I will call on you to ask your question. So I'm going to begin with Ellen, who has her hand raised.
So I actually just wanted to comment on the elections committee, that I'm also on the elections committee this year, and we are sort of gearing up for expecting a really large pool of candidates, because the employee assembly has been more in the spotlight this year with the forums and panel discussions and things that we have been doing. And we've been getting a lot of interest from constituents who are asking how they can be more involved, people who want to start attending our meetings, who are asking about the committees. And I think it's going to be a really robust election this term. And I think that's exciting. I'm excited.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? I will ask my own question. I don't see any hands raised. So it sounds like news came out recently that that there is expected to be enough vaccines for all adults by the end of May. With this said, are we going to find some way to track vaccinations here to sort of update all of our information, our dashboards, to kind of get a sense of where we are in terms of this pandemic? How do we do that? And how will this sort of impact those working from home, and what are sort of the future implications of this broad sweeping vaccination push?
And you want us to answer all that in about a minute, right? Let me speak at the high level, and then I'm going to turn it over to Mary to give a lot of the details of how we're tracking and how we're communicating, because she's spearheading that. At the high level, to be honest, we're sorting it all out. We are trying to do what we've done all along, which is go to the science. We've got our epidemiologists modeling different scenarios for us. What if, you know, like, so here's one example. In the fall, what if 50% of our students and some percentage of our faculty are vaccinated and the prevalence in the local community is a third of what it is now? What would that look like? What kinds of policy should we put in place? But we are not, sort of as with commencement, we're not making hard and fast decisions yet because there's still so much uncertainty. We've only recently heard that there's going to be enough vaccine by May. That's like within the past few days. We don't quite know what's going on with the variants and what those will look like. So we're doing a lot of talking and planning and using our modeling, but I just don't have specific examples for answers for you because it's so broad. But we do have a lot of information about how we communicate, and I'm going to ask Mary to address that.
Yeah, so as you know, we have, so there's sort of two elements of this, right? One is, when can people get vaccinated who are not currently eligible? And that's a critical component to, you know, how we plan for the safety and well-being of the campus. And so we continue. There are people in Albany who must see my regular emails and just twitch knowing that I'm asking the same questions. We believe that our whole campus community should be vaccinated. That's the best way to keep ourselves and our students safe, and so we continue to advance that. Once people are vaccinated, we do need to track that data. The reason for that is that we believe that being vaccinated will result in different actions. Let me give you a very specific one. Right now, the CDC is being very conservative. They're saying if you've been vaccinated, you can have a small dinner in your home without your masks. And that's pretty much all they're saying. But we think that that will probably grow to things like, if you have been vaccinated, you don't need to quarantine after you travel. We don't know that they're going to, but we think things like that may be on the offing. It becomes really important for us to know who has been vaccinated so that as issues come up, we are able to figure out if we have to apply different standards. So right now, what we are doing is looking at ways to collect and store that data in an appropriately confidential way. So how do we get it in? How do we store it? And then ultimately, how do we use it? So that's what we're doing right now. And as soon as we have answers to that, we'll start to roll out a self reporting of people's vaccine status. Does that answer your question, Hey?
That does. Thank you. That's very helpful.
And, you know, I do want to say, I've not been eligible for the vaccine yet. I'm under 60, just barely, but I'm under 65. I am anxiously awaiting it. And I do hope that many people, the advice from the CDC and from our docs at Weill Cornell and everyone is clear. If it becomes available, when it's your turn, take it. Don't worry about which vaccine it is. They all protect against serious disease. We've got to get people vaccinated.
Thank you. Brian, I see your hand is raised.
You're muted, Brian.
It is. Thank you. It took me 5 seconds to figure out where the mute button was, but I found it. Thank you for that. Actually, I am on the list, so I'm really excited about it. I have to go to Binghamton to get it, but I'm on the list, so I'm excited about that. From both of you, the question I have is, do you see us, Cornell, reinstituting some of the losses succumbed due to the pandemic, like the retirements that were retracted and the pay that was retracted? Do you see some of that coming back? Being reinstituted as losses?
Are you saying, are we going to be able to give back to refund people the money that they didn't get for those 5 months? Is that your question?
Or reapply it?
That money has been reapplied. The only reason we have a balanced budget now is because we made those cuts. Had we not made those cuts, we would be in deficit. So that money doesn't
So in the future, when Cornell's doing better, will you be able to add to that, or how is it,
So we now will just go back to normal, but we're not going to be able to restore that money. That would put us all in a hole in the future. We're okay. Sort of done. That's behind us. And now we have to move forward.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other questions. I again want to just thank you all President Pollack, thank you, Mary Offerman. I think these conversations and this engagement is really important to the Employee Assembly, and it gives us so much to go off of. And I think it allows us to get to know you all much better. And I think it really improves, this relationship that we have, which I think is really very beneficial for the staff. We look forward to seeing you next week for the COVID 1 year in review. I think in talking about forums, the Employee Assembly members have mentioned that it's always a great opportunity to engage with senior leadership, but especially when there is either news on the horizon or some sort of milestone. I think this is a pretty big milestone, 1 year looking back and looking forward.
Thank all of you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate what all of you do. On top of everything else, you and the EA have taken this on voluntarily as extra work. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
So thank you all. So now that we have completed the business of the day, let's move on to the discussion of EAR9. So I'm going to forward the floor over to Jamie to talk about this resolution.
Thank you, Hey. I hope, I don't know if people have seen it, it's in the box. It's a pretty short resolution. Basically, it just establishes how we get to the around 12 seats per year elections. And we're going to do it by making the two new at-large seats We're going to shorten those from a three-year term to a two-year term when they get elected this spring. And that way they'll line up with the 2023 elections, and then they'll go back to a three-year term. And then what we also did was there were about 20 seats coming up in 2022. And so we just randomly chose 10 seats from that list, and those seats will get an extra year, and they will not come up until 2023, at which point they'll be voted in with those two at-large seats so that we get 12 for that year. So this year we have a bunch of these new seats that were created, plus whatever seats were regularly expiring. And that gets us about 12 anyway, or 12 plus those two at large. So once we get to 2024, everything will be spaced out and things will just be running in autopilot. Does anyone have any questions about it or any concerns?
So we're going to open the floor for questions. Since this is new business, let's look at the schedule. We have to move this over to new business for a vote. So right now we're just talking about the resolution. If you have any questions or concerns, I see Ellen's hand just raised and then Jessica. So we'll go with Ellen first.
I do just want to follow up and make everyone aware that when the seats that are listed as being randomly selected, that they were 100% random, like we just used like a random generator. So we didn't pick and choose which seats, it was truly random. So I think that is fair. And I just want everyone to know that.
Thank you, Jessica.
So as the lead for the membership task force last year, we pushed this off to the next year's election committee, thinking you guys could come up with a great plan. And you did. This is awesome. I love the random choices. That is great. Fantastic work. Thank you.
Thank you. I think, Marin, you had your hand raised.
I did, but Jessica just took the words right out of my mouth. I just sort of wanted to put on the record and to the group at large, sort of Jamie and Nasser and the elections committee as a whole, the work is seen and appreciated, and it took a lot of thought. So I really appreciate the leadership on that.
Thank you, Marin. Ashley?
I am echoing Jessica and Marin, because I was on that task force, and this whole project is such a huge undertaking. And the first half being on the task force was just the work that we did was huge. And this was the second part of it. So it's just, thank you. Thank you for the second part that did the work. I think this is great. And this has truly been a full EA contribution in changing this policy in the way that we run the EA and expanding it. So just thank you to everybody. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Seeing no additional hands raised, what we can do now is, if this is business of the day, we can move on to the next item of the business of the day. And then finally, when we go back to new business, we can bring this back to the floor for a vote to pass it or table it, whatever we would like to do. Somebody would have to make a motion, and then that's how that would proceed. So right now, back on business of the day, we've got one additional item on business of the day, and that is staff forum update for March 12th. So briefly, I'll just remind you all that we have a forum with President Pollack, Joel Molina, Mary Offerman, Ryan Lombardi. They're all going to join us for this large staff forum to talk about this full year of us under COVID. I mean, we've been working remotely, many of us, some of us still return back to our office spaces, but many of us have been working remotely for a year now. So I think it's a good time to kind of bring everybody back to the table, talk about what this year has been like, and allow the staff to ask senior leadership questions. I'm sure questions that, like what Brian asked about, you know, the staff contributions, that'll probably come up. So to have this recorded, have people have that engagement with the senior leadership, I think that's going to be really a great opportunity. We haven't had one of these larger forums in a while, so I think it's just a great opportunity to re-engage staff with senior leadership. I know that we're also still working on a finance forum. So Paul Streeter is going to retire at the end of this fiscal year. I think they're searching for his position now, but we're really hoping to have Joanne DiStefano, the CFO, and Paul Streeter, I think he's the VP of Budgeting and Planning, come together for a finance forum to really talk about the financial implications of COVID, because I think that informs quite a bit and gives us a lot of helpful information in our roles and in our units. So looking forward to that. And I know there's been some discussions about potentially hosting some sort of panel discussion or some sort of forum that would introduce, the broad staff community to maybe new potential employee assembly members. Maybe they want to introduce themselves to the community and have that sort of platform to be engaged with the employee population. So that is a potential forum, but nothing is written in stone for that. And I think that's it. Does anybody have any questions about staff forums? Just looking for any hands raised. Seeing none, now we can move to new business. So at this time, we would open the floor to open discussion. If anybody has anything they want to bring to the table, if anybody wants to say resolution R9, I want to make a motion to vote, that is also possible, or vote to postpone, I mean, to table it. I want to pass the floor over to Ashley, then Brian. Ashley?
Yep, so slight plug for my full-time job. I just wanted to bring attention to Michelle's comment in the chat and Mary response, just in case people didn't see it, is that we were given approval for the remainder of fiscal year 21. If any college unit or department wanted to contribute to their appreciation portal budget, they could. And that is literally happening as we speak. Those budgets are being uploaded into the portal. So monetary recognition will probably continue shortly. And we've also gotten approval for fiscal year 22 appreciation portal budgets to also move forward as well. So monetary recognition is coming back to the appreciation portal, but I also want to encourage everybody and to share with your constituents that non-monetary recognition has always been available in the appreciation portal. And as Ellen said, and even President Pollack, you'd be surprised how impactful those messages are to somebody's day. So definitely don't underestimate them. And it literally takes 2 minutes to pop onto the portal, write a quick message and hit send, and the platform does the rest for you. If anybody has any questions on that, feel free to reach out to me via email or outside of the meeting. I'm happy to answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashley. I also want to note that the employee assembly is set up in the portal so we can give kudos. Maybe that's something to consider, to share kudos with Mary Opperman, President Pollack. So we can discuss that too. Brian Goodell, your hand is raised.
Yeah, I'm going to move that we pass EA R9.
Okay. All right. So there's a motion on the floor to vote on EA R9. Do I get a second? Okay, I see some hands raised. So I'm hoping everybody has updated their Zoom so that there's the reactions function so that we can go to reactions and then click the check mark for you want to vote yes on R9. Okay, Kate is saying no, she does not. Can you just type in your vote, Kate? So right now, please use the reactions check mark yes for yes, or type in yes in the chat if you don't have that. No, if you want to vote no on this resolution, and I will try to take a screenshot of this vote. And share it with the Office of the Assembly so that we can have this on record. Seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 20 yeses. Great. Are there any no's? I don't see any no's. Are there any abstentions? Please type in abstain in the chat if you abstain. If not, it looks like this resolution passes with a vote of 20 yeses, 0 no's, 0 abstentions. So thank you, Jamie. Please forward to me the final version of the resolution, and I will get that sent over to the office of the president for approval. I see Ashley's hand is raised.
Oh, nope.
Okay, all right. So vote is complete. Let me try to clear all of this. Okay. All right. These reactions, I'm not quite sure how to maneuver them all the time. Anyway, so the resolution has passed, and now we can open the floor for any additional discussion, any topics you all want to bring up to the larger body, any questions, any feedback. Feel free to raise your hand. I see Ellen's hand is raised.
So Kit had asked in the chat about the appreciation portal if those recognitions are currently public, and they currently are not public, but that is something that, and Ashley can probably speak more about this, but that is something that we also asked about from the Communications and Recognition Committee, and it's something that we're hoping that they'll add back in the future. It was, when they first released the portal, they were public, and then there was some system updates and it wasn't able to be public anymore, but they're hoping to bring that back.
Thank you, Ellen. Kit, your hand is raised.
Yeah, thank you, Ellen, for that information. I see the value actually in having both functionalities.
Ideally, they would like it to be a choice of whether or not it's published publicly by both the sender and the recipient. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the functionality that they're waiting for before they release that option again, is they want to make sure that it's an option and not like one way or the other without consent or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Your hand is raised.
Yes, it is. So I wanted to share something that you shared with me earlier, and I just shared with the Welfare Committee. Consider, for those that have any questions about the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2021, some questions came up at the BPC, and I thought this was good enough. I think it should be shared. It says a response and from Mary Opperman saying, yes, Cornell will be implementing the carryover provisions of the healthcare FSA from 2020 accounts to 2021 accounts, and the grace period extension for dependent care accounts from 3/15/2021 to 12/31/2021, as well as some of the other provisions of the act. There will be detailed instructions on each plan to be issued to faculty and staff in the next weeks. Because the regulation is very detailed and specific, we'll ask everyone to read this coming announcement very carefully. So that's gonna be forthcoming, but I thought that was great news and I'm excited about it. And I'm sure our constituents will be as well.
Thank you, Brian. Any questions, feedback on that? Seeing none, are there any other things that we all would like to bring up? Is there any support for maybe providing kudos to the president? I could draft something and share with you all and we can agree on that. We could have it go through one of the committees or broadly with the group. Are there any other questions about the upcoming forums or anything anybody else would like to discuss while we're all here? I think we have 15 minutes left. Ellen, your hand is raised.
I definitely would like to proceed with kudos to the president and to Mary Opperman through the appreciation portal, and also the previous guest speakers that we've had this year. I think it's never too late to go back and thank them. So I think we should do that as well for our guests from CUPD, from Title IX, and other speakers and guests that we've had at our General Assembly meetings. And also if anyone from one of the committees would like to thank someone that's attended their committee meeting, like, we'll be happy to do that as well. I think right now in the appreciation portal, you and I have access. Hey, I'm not sure who else does at this point. So we can double check with Ashley on that. But we're happy to get those going. I think we should utilize it as much as possible.
Thank you. Brian, your hand is raised.
Yes, thank you, Ellen. I strongly support what you just said. And if there's anything that we're gonna write in it for Martha, I would like to just express a comment. Thank you for being real, because she just seems so real and genuine when we talked with her.
Thank you, Brian. seeing no other hands raised, we can make a motion to end the meeting, adjourn at 1:17. We can talk about other items. I wanna just quickly remind people that the George Peter Award nominations are open. So if you haven't read, about the George Peter Award, or you would like the link, please get in touch and nominate somebody that you think is worthy of this really prestigious award. And the appreciation portal is open to everybody. So if you want to send, you know, your own individual kudos to President Pollack or Mary Offerman, you feel free to do so. So there's nothing hindering you from doing that on your own as well. The time is now 1:17. If there's nothing else, I will make a motion to adjourn early at 1:17. Do I get a second?
Second.
Jamie, some hands raised. Seeing no dissent, I'm going to adjourn this meeting at 1:17. Thank you all for joining us today and for your engagement.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.